I would speak, but my processing unit is experiencing a failure. No data, no data, no solutions, no solutions. Blue screen, reboot, 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 reboot my Seattle spirit.
The city is firmly behind solutions, and I think if they see solutions working, they're going to support us in those solutions.
Hey, is Jelly Durk, has she come out and spoken about solutions? What time is it? 3:06:08. I'm waiting. Jelly? Jelly! You said you were going to make a statement.
Don't drop that Durk, Durk. Hey, don't drop that Durk, Durk.
I do not hear a statement. Wait, is that her? Is that her in the newsroom? But she said she's going to make a statement about the attack. Seattle Center, it's 3:06:40. This can't be right because Jelly Durk would never leave us hanging. This weekend she said she was going to make a statement. She can't. Seattle is a national laughingstock. Fox News' Dan Springer.
In the last year, crime in the area surrounding the camp has skyrocketed. Calls to the police have more than doubled. Property crime is a daily occurrence. Evidence of illegal drug use can be found in vacant lots and people's backyards. It has gotten so bad most neighbors have installed surveillance cameras, and they catch everything from prostitution to people using private property as an outhouse.
Unsavory activity, more needles, garbage in our driveway, neighbors' packages stolen, cars broken into.
We have drug users that are in our yards. They sleep in our yards. They leave clothes, trash. They've been using people's water.
Wait, Jelly Durk is making a statement. Hold it. Wait, who's that guy in the pink shirt in front of her?
As a city, we have no plan.
Oh, never mind. It's just Minister Mike O'Brien. Over the weekend, we learned that the street person who attacked a tourist from Arizona had moved here about 6 months ago from out of state. He's homeless, moved from Seattle from Colorado, 9 months ago. His name is Michael Lee Pearson. Now, I had been very against this attack. Then I learned that Michael Lee Pearson apparently believes he's engaged to or is going to marry Ellen DeGeneres. When he saw this gentleman from Arizona walking through the Seattle Center area, he determined that he was a 14-year-old boy who was sleeping with Ellen DeGeneres. And so to defend Ellen DeGeneres, he rose and attacked the man and beat him and tried to choke him out with the rope, tried to end his life with the rope. He showed up here 9 months ago. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Heroin Dan Satterberg, the so-called King County prosecutor, has sent out a love note to guys like this.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
Is there a better love note to send out to guys like that than this?
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
Yep, there's not. And remember, up until a few weeks ago, the Republican establishment and people who make their lives cozying up to the Republican establishment and professional Republicans, they would have defended Heroin Dan Satterberg, saying he's the best we have. Over the weekend, a woman lives up near Green Lake, up in the Aurora area, went to confront some people who were on her lawn, who shouldn't have been on her lawn, street people who shouldn't be on her lawn. Not homeless people, not people who've fallen under hard times, not people busy trying to find a place to sleep, people who love the street life. This woman ended up being grievously injured. She spoke with Como News' Mitch Pittman.
I said, you know, you need to get off the property. This is private property.
Sarah says it was in broad daylight that two strangers showed up in her yard and said they were trying to break into a different home nearby. After yelling at them to leave, she was attacked by one of them.
She ran back up the street, ran up the stairs here, grabbed my hair, and pulled me down the stairs head first onto the cement.
That left Sarah with a fractured nose, fractured knee, sprained wrist, and left her unconscious on her front lawn.
Mayor Durkin's going to speak. Is that Mayor Durkin? She said she was going to address the Seattle Center attack. Maybe she could address this one, too. Is that her? Oh, wait, no, this is Smack Daddy Dow Constantine.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
Oh, well, that's good news, right? I'm sure that the off-duty police officer in the Des Moines area at Redondo Beach is trying to get his boat out of the water. So apparently his wife went and said to some people, hey, could you move your car so we could get our boat out of the water? He was attacked by a group of teenagers. And he was taken to the ground by a group of teenagers. And he had to defend his life against a group of teenagers. And a gun was drawn by one of the teenagers. And thank God no one was shot this time, although there was plenty of shooting this weekend.
Investigators said that the victim was trying to get to his boat out of the water and asked some nearby people to move their vehicle. Instead, they said that he was attacked and one person pulled a gun. The group then ran off.
People. I've seen video of this event. It is horrific.
Are very impatient with somebody who's a new boater or mm-hmm. something, just got a brand new boat.
This had nothing to do with being impatient with a new boater. This was a gangland-style attack. It was a mob-style attack. You can watch the video. And one of the teen girls says about one of the attackers, he's only 16. Well, he's only 16. What do we do with 16-year-olds who end up acting that way in our area? We apply restorative justice, right? Smack Daddy? Right, Dow Constantine?
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
I'm sure that is a huge comfort to this officer who very nearly was shot by a miscreant teenager. And you can watch the video for yourself, but we're not done. Oh, wait. No, I think the mayor's stepping to the podium. She's going to make a statement about the Seattle Center attack. I wonder if she'll say some other things. Wait, oh, no. Wait, that's Sleepy Jay Inslee. Jay, you have some thoughts on these kids that attacked this cop?
Talking to dozens of these young people is we need to turn the world over to this generation quickly as we can.
Wait, to that generation? Are you telling me we want kids like that running around?
We're getting these absurd ideas that what we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
Wait a minute, Jay Inslee, why is our area turning into this? Why is it becoming this madhouse, this nightmare?
You got the best weed in the United States.
Oh, I got it. You know about Tumwater, where it took two citizens, one who fatally shot an attacker who was clearly, you know, at least in my judgment, an absolute madman. I've lost track of how many cars he stole or hijacked. I've lost track of how many people he shot. I know he shot a 16-year-old boy. Not grievously. I know he shot a man who's very seriously injured. And I know that a citizen and, well, many citizens, I think three citizens had CPL. One pulled a weapon and neutralized by killing this madman. There you go, Jay Inslee. Why is our area turning into this? How can you ignore all of this going on in our area?
It's based on ideology and politics rather than the facts on
the
ground.
That's exactly how you can ignore it. Oh, we're not done. We can go through the shooting in Belltown. One of my regular listeners sent me a private note, 2:20 in the morning. He lives in the Belltown area. He said multiple shots. He heard multiple calibers of guns going off. Right down in Belltown is Mayor Durkin. Is she ready? Mayor? You said you're going to come out and address this. Anything you can say. I'd just appreciate just anything you could say.
Don't drop that dirk.
It's not what I was looking for, but that will have to stand as the mayor's statement. Now, I have laid out a challenge. I laid it out on MyNorthwest.com. I've laid it out on Facebook. I've laid it out on Twitter. Our phones will remain open all day at 800-465-8770. I want to hear from the people on the left who spent the weekend talking about the situation of separating kids at the border. Here are the rules. You have to talk about your solutions. What do you do? We'll keep the phones open all day long so you can come on and show how close-minded conservatives are because we're not thinking of solutions. We'll keep the phones open all day for people from the left who will explain their solutions. What do we do with the children at the border who've been brought here illegally by their parents who then request amnesty? Do we put them in the jail cells with the adults? Do we let the adults and the children run free? What is your solution? Since you've spent the weekend calling everybody in your line of sight, Hitler, for not agreeing with you. 800-465-8770. We'll get into the breaking news on a national basis as we continue on the Todd Herman Show. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. We're on the Jenny Watch. Mayor Jenny said she was going to address the attack at the Seattle Center over the weekend. So far, Jenny has disappointed. Man, I hear a whole Jenny thing coming. We need the Tommy Two-Tone. Jenny, I got your number. We need that. We need a lot of things. Let's get into this.
As we speak. The Todd Herman Show is live and local because the top...
Wait, can I do the Jenny, I got your number? Because she's gay. Is that okay?
It's questionable.
All right. Can you look into that with standards and practices?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Our seekers never rest, and political news is breaking as we speak.
I think you're going to like some of this. I think you're going to be flat giddy on some of this. I'm flat giddy on some of it. Oh, check the phones here. See if the leftists have called with their solutions to the kids at the border. 800-465-8770. I watched you all weekend on Facebook complain, Nazis, fascists. So I want to hear your solutions. What do you do with little kids whose parents bring them over the border, demand or claim, request, plead for amnesty? What do we do with the kids? Well, we're figuring out if we're going to get someone amnesty. A Motel 6? Send them to Michael Jackson's former place out in San Diego. Is that what you do? 800-465-8770. The challenge is up at MyNorthwest.com. It's up on Facebook. I await your solutions. You got to have solutions if you're going to criticize. Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, questioning the FBI, the Inspector General, about this ridiculous, funny, insulting report that claims there was no bias, as the entire report is a detailing of the bias. But the IG, Horowitz, wants us to believe that while there was bias, so much so that an FBI agent said we will stop the election or we will prevent one of the candidates from being elected, it didn't really affect any decision making. John Kennedy to IG Horowitz.
Do you honestly believe that the American people are going to look at this report and look at those emails and not believe that there was bias and people acting on bias, and that the fix was in at the FBI?
I completely understand the concern, Senator, and that's why we've laid all this out here, and that's why we found that it impacts the credibility of the handling of the investigation.
A non-answer when a guy knows he's caught. No, we don't believe you. No one who reads the report and is intellectually honest can read the volume of material about the bias. And it was not just Strzok and Page. And it was not just we'll stop him from getting elected. It was that Strzok jumped at the chance to get off the investigation of the matter that was Hillary Clinton and into something that could, quote, lead to impeachment. I want off the mid-year review. We already know this. He didn't say we already know there's not going to be charges filed, but they clearly knew that. That was clearly a call from the top because Barack Obama would have been implicated in this. Now, Peter Strzok says, not only will I appear, I won't plead the fifth. I'm anxious to come and tell my story. Well, he better be because Rep. Goodlatte says, yeah, well, you're probably going to get subpoenaed if you don't.
Why is it our job to prove that Strzok's bias impacted his decision making? I got a better idea. Strzok, you come before Congress, you come before the American public and prove to us that your manifest animus towards Donald Trump did not affect your decision.
Trey is exactly right. We have been requesting that he be produced as witness for quite some time now. And if that agreement is not reached, we are very shortly going to issue a subpoena for him to appear.
Also, he says he's going to appear and he's not going to plead the fifth. Well, you know what? You're going to face, you may face Trey Gowdy in quite a mood because Trey's growing a beard. Never seen that before. And Trey Gowdy's got that weird hair that changes all the time. Hold it. Hold it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. She said she was going to address the one of the attacks. The one at the Seattle. Is that
Jenny? Jenny. 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 Jenny.
Jenny.
Nope, sorry, that's Forrest Gump. I apologize, it looked like Jenny. Durkin. Trey Gowdy on if the documents that now, is it 16 or 17 months, that the co-equal branch of government, one of the trilateral branches that is above and significantly above the FBI, that is a co-equal branch, the FBI is not, has been demanding these papers for 16 or 17 months. Papers related to the investigation of Hillary Clinton, to the scope of the Russia investigation, etc. The FBI arrogantly saying, no, we've decided those are too significant for you to see. Trey Gowdy.
All made it very clear. There's going to be action on the floor of the House this week if the FBI and DOJ do not comply with our subpoena request.
Subpoena request. I'll help him finish that because he had a problem with his T. Well, I hope there is. Because we let Lois Lerner skate. We let the reptilian John Koskinen skate. They should have been brought in on contempt charges. They should have been put in the jail below the House of Representatives. And we'll get to later in the show, David French and Andrew McCarthy, kind of different human beings. McCarthy makes a case that the FBI is so ill, is actually so completely broken at a cultural level. But he doesn't use Strzok and Page as an example. He reaches another example of hubris and arrogance and disdain for the American people. It's not just a bias against Trump. It's not just a bias against Republicans. It's a bias against you. They can smell you. That's in the document. By the way, I've heard that from congresspeople. When I worked in D.C., they used to complain about your smell. I'm not kidding. When the tourists come in, you could smell them. They said it all the time. Well, yeah, you ever walk around D.C. without someone fanning you or not in an air-conditioned town car paid for by the people? Lastly, national breaking news. The governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, responded to this horrific shooting in New Jersey. One person dead, 22 wounded. It was gang-related. He wants to talk gun control, not the fact that the alleged shooter, Tahi Wells, 33 years old. Not the fact that he was released early from prison. That would never enter his mind. Hold it. Oh, never mind. I thought that was Jenny Durkin. It was just someone on MSNBC. We're waiting Jenny Durkin's statement. She said she was going to talk about the attack at the Seattle Center. Oh, and so much more. I'm sure she has solutions. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH from ESPN. They used to be a sports network back in the day. They did a whole show on sports. In fact, I think the network at one time, I'll look at this, maybe, I mean, do you know this for a fact? Did they used to do that all in sports? They are, Kellerman there says that it's racist ideas that keep black men from being quarterbacks in the NFL. This will come under the heading of, when everything is racism, nothing is racism. But now a subheading to that, when racism isn't racism, then everything is racism. Sound confusing? Don't worry. I'll explain it with visual aids. When everything is racism, nothing is racism. And a new tenet to that, when racism isn't racism, then everything is racism. Before we get to that, we got to check in real quick. Jenny Durkin was going to address this attack of this out-of-town street person who moved here about 9 months ago, tried to strangle a guy at the rope because he said the guy was inappropriately holding hands with Ellen DeGeneres, whom the street person has determined in his own mind that he's going to marry. We'll check in real quick, see if Jenny Durkin.
Jenny.
No statement from her. I want to thank Matthew Cook on Twitter for pointing out the obvious that we needed that sounder. Matthew, I plead guilty. We didn't have that sounder. When everything is racism, nothing is racism. It's all a great big swindle.
Ocean's 11 and the Italian Job. But why rely on fiction when we have the real thing? The Todd Herman Show presents today's episode of The Great Political Swindle.
And believe it or not, Ted Lieu said something that makes sense in this swindle. Ted Lieu! Here's the swindle. We are to believe that the real racism is stopping black players from being quarterbacks in the NFL. Someone named Kellerman on a network called ESPN that, according to a text message at 800-465-8770, see, 4958, ESPN used to do sports back when MTV did music. Got it. Okay, I knew there was a time when they did sports.
In this country, as Warren Moon can tell you, in the NFL,
yep,
they have forever been trying to turn African-American quarterbacks into other players, not quarterbacks, and to shift them to other positions because of you know, racist ideas about, and certainly at least racial, but I would say racist ideas about leadership, mm-hmm, and all kinds of other made-up nonsense.
That may serve as a surprise to modern-day quarterbacks who are finding great success in the NFL. It certainly serves as a surprise for me that it's the race that tries to move people to different positions. Folks tried to move Russell Wilson because he was short. He didn't have a particularly long arm. He couldn't see over the line. Russell rose above that. And I would say this. Is it racism that keeps big, tall, white guys, 6'7", 300 pounds, from being a wide receiver? Or is it their physical size, their stature, that they belong in different positions? The swindle is we're supposed to get upset about that. We are supposed to believe that the NFL moved Colin Kaepernick out of being a quarterback because he was black, not because his numbers were failing. And that he can't get a second shot in this, not because he can take a team to win, but because, and certainly not because he wore, you know, socks that depicted cops as pigs and would put that taint upon another franchise. We're supposed to believe that a professional sport all about winning would not take an African-American quarterback to make that win, like RG3. Right, who was absolutely ruined because the coaches wouldn't take him off the field when the guy was clearly, absolutely hobbled. He was a great talent and a humble talent, like the absolute wave of African-American quarterbacks who are now making it in the league. The position has become different. I'm not a sports guy. I'm not a sports host. But I know that the offenses have changed. And I know the physical capacities and capabilities of quarterbacks adapt to the offenses. There was a time when you had drop-back quarterbacks, back dancing, looking for a throw, staying in the pocket. You didn't have to be a particularly fast runner. You didn't have to be particularly good on your feet that way. Now the physical capabilities have changed, and so we're seeing people with incredible, God-given physical capabilities and terrific work habits, and in the case of Russell Wilson, a brilliant mind for football, getting the chance not just to play, but to become Hall of Fame material. We're supposed to believe that's the racism when the racism stands right before us. And believe it or not, it's Ted Lieu. Ted Lieu who's calling this out. So step one in this analysis, if that's racism, that the NFL adapts players to their physical capabilities and puts them in positions where their physical capabilities match the best or their mental attitudes match the best. Hey, you know what? You don't have the attitude of a hitter. Let's move you over into offense. Or, hey, you know what? You're a great wide receiver or a decent wide receiver, Richard Sherman, but you're an angry man. You like to hit people. You're a competitor. You have it in your heart and you understand the game. Your intellect for the game and where receivers belong and what quarterbacks are going to do is immense, Richard Sherman. So we're going to make you a drop back safety. We're going to put you in this position where you, in fact, have total control over what you do on the field. We're supposed to buy that that's the racism when Harvard University has been trying to get out of this lawsuit. They've been demanding that the judge end this lawsuit. You want to hear the racism right before you, and I can't believe I'm going to speak these words. Ted Lieu, who is an entirely irrelevant man when it comes to any accomplishments as a legislator, he's accomplished nothing other than he was willing to come out first and say Trump should be impeached. He was willing to do that. So because he was willing to do that, he got a bunch of attention, and he gets to be on the TV. So Ted Lieu now is relevant in MSNBC circles. So he was asked about, or I didn't know that he was asked. He spoke about what Harvard's been doing. Have you read the details on this? I've shared with you on the show for up 2 years my disdain for Harvard University. $39 billion in endowments, and they still take tax monies. And the return on investment of going to Harvard continues to tank as the rates continue to go up. It continues to tank. It's a scam for a lot of people. I mean, you're going to go be a doctor, great. Go to Harvard Med. You're going to be law, great. Go to Harvard Med. Anything, or Harvard Law, anything else, the ROI is simply not there, the return on investment. You know how Harvard is keeping Asian men out of Harvard? Because they want a flat line. They want the races on the Harvard campus to comport exactly to the percentage of races in the country. Never mind that different cultures value different pursuits differently. You know how they're doing it to Asians? Asian men and Asians in general rank the highest in academic areas by a long shot. But that's not how they're ranking them. Harvard says, no, 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 we look at the whole person. So in terms of test scores, grades, extracurricular activity, according to all those analyses, Asian Americans scored higher than any other race in those areas. Or said a different way, without the race pimping, some folks scored higher in all of those arenas. So what did Harvard insert into their analyses? They inserted a personality assessment. Asians at Harvard score lower on the personal positivity scores. And this is based on 160,000 student records that have been used, submitted as part of this lawsuit against Harvard. They rank lower on likability, courage, kindness, and on being widely respected. They reported Breitbart News. No, pardon me, not Breitbart. Fox News. No, I'm sorry, not Fox News. No, 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 not that. No, Drudge. Uh-uh. Wait, New York Times. New York Times. There's your racism. Practiced out in the open by Harvard University. On the NFL, can you name the number of players who have been distinctly unlikable human beings but superstars? Deion Sanders, I found to be a completely unlikable human being, but he was an absolute superstar and he played the game. I found a lot of Seahawks to be deeply questionable people, but they played the game at a high level. The NFL has abounded. Jim McMahon, I couldn't stand Jim McMahon's attitude when he was a player, but he took the team to the Super Bowl multiple times. We could make a long list of players like this. That personality test didn't matter there, and Harvard's not in the personality business. And how do you, by the way, Harvard, people of science, people of numbers, people of data or data, what's the objective analysis for likability? Likable by whom? Is your admissions board particularly likable? Are they brave? Are they widely respected? What's the categorical, inarguable definition of widely respected? And by whom are they widely respected? By the people who know them or by the people who have interviewed them in a stressful circumstance where Asians, particularly Asian men, know that Harvard doesn't want them there? There's your racism practiced before you. But the media, they don't particularly want to get into looking at Harvard in that light because they come from Harvard. They come from Yale. They come from Brown. Now, I know I'll get accused of playing the class envy game, or someone said the other day that my show is about practicing class warfare. No, it's not. It's about calling out class warfare. If it happens that a bunch of Asian kids or young people are scoring better on the academics, it is absolute racism to handicap them with a completely made-up, non-objective, non-scientific, garbage analysis of likability. One person's likability is another person's I-can't-stand-you-bility. There's your racism. And it's not called out. Why? Because it's a political swindle. That's why. Much more to get to on the Todd Herman Show, including a play in our area devoted to the gentle giant myth of Michael Brown. Now, to be honest, in terms of a work of art, it actually sounds really interesting. I mean, as a work of fictional art, it actually sounds very interesting. But it's not being treated as fiction, of course. It's being treated as something quite else. We'll get to that when we come back on the Todd Herman Show, though. We'll get into the patent pending, just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into that very patent pending audio feng shui mode. No, we do have Jenny's number.
Jenny, who can I turn to?
Jenny, who could we turn to? You said you were going to make a statement. You said you were going to make a statement about the attack at Seattle Center.
Extremely general.
Dirk.
No? Wow. Complete silence. And by the way, zero calls from the left. Zero solutions for what to do with the kids at the border. Zero. Timestamp, 3:50 in the afternoon. Oh, lots of accusations on Facebook that we're all fascists. Not one suggestion at 800-465-8770. Here we go into...
just a few more things.
We take news-like items, roll them into useful little packages that people on TV would say news you can use, except you absolutely cannot use some of this. Sometimes you can. But I said news-like items. There is a lock. Okay? It is a digital lock. It's a lot like this tap lock. Okay, and you don't put numbers in it, you use your fingerprints.
My first thoughts on this lock is how heavy it is. Definitely a good feeling and no sense of cheap plastic or just unsturdy build. Not to get too technical, however, this lock is made of Zamac 3 zinc alloy, and the shackle is actually cut resistant. So again, you're definitely getting a solid lock.
Yeah, so in that case, it was a solid lock. Now, on the other hand, a new lock being sent out to testing. Ended up in the hands of a guy called the lockpicking lawyer. He's a recreational lockpicker. He was sent a fingerprint padlock for review. He emailed the manufacturer and said, hey, you know what? I found a vulnerability. I found that if you remove the three screws, the lock falls apart. The shackle can be opened and relocked without the owner's fingerprint or knowledge. The reply of the manufacturer, quote, The lock is invisible to those who don't have a screwdriver. It's invincible to people who can't buy a screwdriver and such, or, steal one, I guess. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing two.
So, have you seen this video? It is actually kind of charming. Some kids are playing around in Overland Park, Kansas at the Tomahawk Ridge Community Center. And little boys come up, and they're hugging this statue, and there's a statue of a woman, and it's her bust, and they're hugging it. And it's not in a creepy way. I mean, it's kind of creepy. But then the kids, they leave the room, they come back, and then they grab the statue again, and the statue begins to fall. And the little boy, God bless his heart, is trying to hold the statue up. The other little boy is standing there aghast. The statue falls, appears to break, and the kids run, and probably saying nobody did it. Now, the parents are going to have to pay $132,000 for this, it looks like. But there were sitting in the room. I counted five adults sitting on couches as the little boys are hugging the statue and it's beginning to fall. Not until the boys leave the room does one lady get up and go, oh my, I think that may have fallen. Shouldn't they pay as well? Next up, and just a few more things.
Thing three.
This could make you angry. State of Virginia, soccer tournament. A dad loses his gourd, goes nutty, punches a 14-year-old.
My son and another opponent, they were competing for the ball.
They were grabbing each other. It was certainly getting grabby and chippy.
Jennifer Moss's 14-year-old son was also competing. The Bonair mother says she watched the opponent's father run onto the field.
He ran past me, grabbed the victim, threw him on the ground, face up, and then punched him at least 2 to 4 times that I saw.
I just saw his arm go up, and then I just, boom, just fell to on my face when he punched me.
Now, I don't want to appear overtly redneckish. However, in my estimation, there are times when it would be okay for a judge to call someone like that to the side in the courtroom, and say, I'm going to let some fellows whoop up on you. The ruling of the court is that I will allow three men to whoop up on you for a period of time, not to extend past 45 seconds, but a good whooping you'll get. Am I wrong? I know revenge is mine, saith the Lord, but that would be a legal process. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
Paul Ryan committed quite a sin over the weekend. He posted a Father's Day video.
Once I had kids, those personal ambitions really subsided, and I just focused on policy ambitions.
And it just changed my focus in life from career to family.
Right. And Paul Ryan is, of course, retiring. A John Legend, a singer, said, "Seriously, F you," on Twitter. "We are not allowed to celebrate our children because other parents have made other decisions. Not to go to our embassies, not to go to our legal border checkpoints, but to sneak across the border and demand," it's not requesting, they're demanding amnesty, "and to demand to be allowed to just go their way in the country." You know what, John Legend? You're fake. You're a phony. Everybody knows it. He had no concern during the Obama era about this. Last up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
Chris Cuomo decided to defend Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok, all through the FBI IG report, you can read about him plotting to stop Trump from being president, plotting about how much he hated Trump. Chris Cuomo from CNN has a theory.
Certainly showed that, you know, and he even went farther than that and said, "and I'll put a stop to it." But he was obviously kidding. What was he going to do to stop it?
Ha! Huh. He's kidding. Wow. More local news when we continue on the Todd Herman Show.